Our text for this morning is Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For David, the world was a dark and dangerous and frightening place. Throughout his whole life, David was surrounded by danger. Think of him as a young boy. He faced lions and bears and wolves as he looked after his father's sheep. Think of him then as a young man chased upon the mountaintops by wicked King Saul. And then when he was older and he became king himself, his life did not get any easier because he was pursued by his wicked and conniving son Absalom, fleeing out of the land of Israel into a foreign land with only a handful of faithful followers. And most commentators believe that the setting of this psalm is that third one, when Absalom was chasing David out of his kingdom. At that time, the majority of the nation had abandoned him, and he was surrounded by cruel and ungodly men. Notice verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. At that time, he was slandered by wicked and cruel tongues. That's verse 12. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Think of Ahithophel, and think of Shimei, who cursed him as he left Israel. And he has at this time too a most grievous trial. He is not able to go to the temple or the tabernacle to worship his God. He is in exile. We have that too, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. At this time, as he writes Psalm 27, he is not able to dwell in the house of the Lord. And so he desires earnestly of God that God would restore him to Israel. And again, he says later on in this psalm, he seeks God's face. He asks to be able to go into the tabernacle. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. A life of trials. David's life was not easy. A life of trials. And yet, throughout all of this darkness, one light shone for him. And that was his faithful God, Jehovah. And that is his confession in our text. The Lord is my light and my salvation. No matter how dark it becomes for David, David confesses this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. That's where his trust lies. That's where he finds hope and joy and confidence. He trusts in the faithfulness of Jehovah God. And that knowledge, that God is light and salvation to those who believe in him, that knowledge sustains us through our many trials also, because the world has not got any easier for the child of God. It's still dark, it's still dangerous, and as sin develops in the midst of this world, we see it becoming more dark and more dangerous, and we know eventually Antichrist is going to come, and that will be the darkest period in the history of the world. And our natural response then is to be afraid. But this psalm is for our comfort. Do not be afraid, beloved. The Lord is your light and your salvation. Every believer can exclaim with David, Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Jehovah, our light and our salvation. First of all, what, then, who, and with what result. Jehovah, our light and our salvation. What, who, and with what result? This is a psalm, and therefore it is a poem. Poetic language. We have here the figure of light, a rich concept in Scripture. Light is a picture of life, of hope, of joy, and of knowledge or guidance in the midst of darkness. Darkness and gloominess are depressing. There's no hope in the midst of darkness. But we have a saying in English, there's light at the end of the tunnel, a picture of hope. Light is hope and brings joy. Children are afraid of the dark, but when the light is turned on, they have hope and they have comfort. And when you walk in the darkness, you can't see where you're going, you stumble and you fall, because light is a picture of knowledge which pierces through our ignorance so we can see as God shines upon our pathway. And light is also a picture in the Bible of God's favor and grace shining upon us. Think of the Aaronic blessing. May God's face shine upon you. God shines upon his people in favor and in love. So it's life, hope, joy, knowledge, favor, and the glory of God. All of these things are encapsulated by that one word, light. Just look through the Psalms, how many times that word light is used throughout the Psalms, and you will see what a rich concept it is. Now David writes that God is his light, not in the abstract, but in the midst, as we said, of many trials and tribulations. David's life was constantly in threat from enemies who plotted his ruin. He called them in verse 2 his foes and his enemies. And they come as if they are wild beasts to eat up his flesh. In verse 3, he is surrounded by them. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. A host is a mighty army. In those days, an army numbering thousands and tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of soldiers. That was what David faced upon the battlefield. All armed with spears and swords and bows. And yet, they stumbled and they fell. And David escaped miraculously from their clutches. His whole life was full of trials. He knew persecution. He knew the mocking and slander of wicked men, and his life itself was threatened by persecution. He knew the loss of all of his possessions. Think of this. He was the king of Israel. He lived in a wonderful palace, surrounded by servants. And in the next moment, his wicked son usurps him, and he must flee, leaving all of that behind, and now lives in the wilderness with a few faithful men. He lost everything. And think of the trials in his family. One son murdered another son. And now his son Absalom is trying to kill his own father. And worse than all of that is the fact that he knows that his son Absalom is a wicked, ungodly man who eventually is going to perish under the wrath of God. And we remember his terrible lament, "O Absalom, my son, Absalom, my son, Absalom." The grief of a father seeing his son turn away from the God of truth and from the truth of the Scriptures which he was taught. And he knows too the trials, the ecclesiastical trials we would call them. Trouble in the church. After all, he is the office bearer in the church. Has been usurped, and now he is cut off from the worship of the church, and that for him was a most grievous trial. And all of these enemies are stirred up by his spiritual enemy, the devil. David's real enemies are spiritual, as are ours. Sin, death, hell, and the devil. Notice he calls his enemies the wicked. They're not simply soldiers, they are the wicked. Those who are opposed to God, those who are raging rebels against God, who have broken God's law. They are the enemies of God himself. And therefore they have become the enemies of David. And notice his chief concern here in this psalm is not that he should be protected from his physical enemies, but that he should be not put away in anger. Verse 9, hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. And David knows that God has every right to be angry with him. Because why did Absalom stir himself up against David? Because of the judgment of God against David for his sin with Bathsheba. David knows that. Put not thy servant away in anger, please, David. That's his concern. He even has to fight against the unbelief of his own heart in verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He's telling his soul, wait on the Lord. Wait and see what God is going to do. God will be faithful. It all seems hopeless right now, but God has promised he will be faithful. We make the same confession in the midst of darkness. Because this life is a battlefield. Just as much as it was for David, not a physical battlefield for us with spears and with swords and with arrows whizzing around our heads, surrounded by cruel foes, as David knew. But it is a battlefield, a spiritual battlefield. We know persecution. We know people who mock us and laugh at us because of our Christian profession. And in the future, the Bible tells us, we will also know physical persecution, just as much of the church today knows physical persecution, and they too can say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. We experience too financial difficulties. Everyone's talking about the economy, a struggling economy, financial hardships, things getting more expensive, people losing their jobs, and Christians also experience these hardships in the midst of life. We know too, sickness and disease. Some of us know that more acutely than others, but all of us know what it's like to be sick and to have affliction in our bodies. And death is coming to take away each one of us. And we know too, afflictions in our families. Some are married to unbelievers, and that causes untold grief. And some experience the trial of seeing their children turn away from the Lord as they become older and no longer attend the church of Jesus Christ. What sorrow. What sorrow for a godly parent to see that. And behind all of these are the terrible realities of sin and Satan and hell. Because all of these happen. All of these trials happen because of sin in the world. God has cursed this world because of man's sin. There's violence in this world. There's sickness in this world. There's death in this world because of man's sin. And we know our own sinful nature, which as it were rises up within us as a host of sins which seek to overwhelm us and destroy us. And we must battle day and night against those sins. And the devil, who wants to keep us in darkness and drag us down to eternal darkness in hell, is always attacking us and surrounding us with his demons. And we are threatened on every side. And in the midst of all of that, all of those trials, all of those difficulties, our sins and the devil, in the midst of all of that, we can confess, like David, Jehovah is my light and my salvation. He is my hope. He gives me joy. He gives me comfort. I trust in Him. He guides me by His Spirit and His Word. He shines upon me in His favor and in His love. Never does He forsake me. Never does He stop shining upon me. He's our light then. He's also our salvation. In fact, He can only be our light because He is our salvation. God is the infinitely pure light. In Him is no darkness at all. And we are by nature darkness. And only if God is also our salvation can He shine upon us in His light and show mercy and grace to us. There are two words in our text which describe this salvation. One is translated salvation, and the other is strength of my life. One means deliverance or rescue, and the other one means preservation. He delivers us. He rescues us from all of our trials, from all of the dangers which surround us. That's David's confession here. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. As David goes into battle against his enemies, he does not trust in his own powers as a soldier. No, Jehovah is his light and his salvation. As David considers his sins and how grievous all of his sins were, he does not say to himself, well, I can save myself by keeping God's commandments more faithfully in the future. No, God, Jehovah, delivers me from my sins. He delivers me from 1,000 deaths each day. He delivers me from all of my sins without any of my works. He's also the strength of our life. He's a fortress. He's a mighty bulwark. He's a refuge. He's a stronghold. He's a safe haven. All those are possible translations of strength of our life. As David enters the battlefield, and as arrows are whizzing around his head, as it were, he does not trust in himself to preserve himself. He knows he is as vulnerable as any other man. But Jehovah preserves him. Jehovah preserves him even in the midst of his sins. Jehovah preserves him from falling into sin so far that he can never come out of that sin again. Jehovah maintains and preserves his covenant with David. It does not depend upon David's faithfulness. If it did, he could never cry out, Jehovah is the strength of my life. Jehovah preserves me. Jehovah maintains his covenant with me. And Jehovah is also our salvation and our preservation by being our light. Think of the figure of a plant. A plant, you cover it up with a cloth, say, or a blanket, so no light can shine upon it. It withers and it dies. It must have light to live and continue to grow. And God is our light. We are, as it were, a tender plant. And if God were to stop shining upon us, even for a moment, in His love and in His favor and in His mercy, we would spiritually shrivel up and die. But God continually shines upon us in His grace and in His mercy and in His love. And even through all the difficulties and trials of life, He never puts us away in anger. And as God shines upon us, He more and more delivers us from the power of our sin. He sanctifies us. He makes us holy. He causes us to love Him more and to hate our sins more. And thus He prepares us for everlasting light in heaven. Continually He shines upon us, cheering us along our way, maintaining our hope, reminding us of his love and faithfulness, and assuring us that our sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. So we have that twofold relationship. He is our light by being our salvation, and he is our salvation by being our life. He's both. He's light and he is salvation. But notice too that light is antithetical. Light is opposed to darkness, and Jehovah is our light and our salvation by being darkness and destruction to our enemies. David does not say Jehovah is the light and salvation of everyone in the world, of the Philistines and the Edomites and the Ammonites and even of Absalom. No, he is my light and he is my salvation. And David is representative then of all those who believe in Jesus Christ in the covenant of grace. All those who are true friends of Jehovah. To them, and only to them, is God light and salvation. And because God is light and salvation to David, he loves David, he shows favor to David, he wills and accomplishes the salvation of David, and David will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But the same cannot be said for Ahithophel, who also was a circumcised Israelite, who went and hanged himself. And the same cannot be said for Absalom, who was a prince in Israel. Had all of the favor, as it were, of being a prince in Israel. He had a wonderful education. He was the son of the king. He lived in a palace surrounded by riches and pleasure. But God was not shining upon him in light. And God was not his salvation. And indeed, God is the light and salvation of David in this way, by destroying all of David's enemies, all those who seek to kill him. Notice verse 2, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. And they stumbled and fell because God, who is darkness and destruction to the wicked, caused them to stumble and fall, and they fell into everlasting darkness in hell. And God will destroy all of the reprobate wicked, the false church, the Antichrist, and the devil himself, because he is the light and salvation of his elect church. That's the antithesis, light versus darkness. Who is this light and this salvation in whom David trusts? It is Jehovah. It is the God of the covenant, the faithful God of Israel. David then did not trust in or seek comfort from earthly things, from the fact that he was a king and had a palace and riches and honor and splendor. All of it now is taken away from him, and yet he can still say, I have light and I have salvation outside of myself in Jehovah God. Nor did he seek or find comfort in the other gods of the heathen. He was not tempted to go and worship Baal or Ashtaroth or Molech in the hope that perhaps that God would be light and salvation to him. He doesn't look within himself either. He doesn't say, I am my own light. I enlighten myself by my own human reason. No. Jehovah God, only Jehovah God, is light and salvation to David. Is that your confession? Is that my confession? That Jehovah God and only Jehovah God is light and salvation? Or do we find hope and comfort and pleasure in the things of this world, in riches, and in friends and in family and in everything else that this world has to offer to us. And when it's all taken away from us, when we have no friends because they forsake us because of our belief in the truth, when our family forsake us, when our father and mother forsake us, verse 10 says, where's our light and where's our salvation then? It must be where David was, in Jehovah God. We must not think that we can do it on our own. We must not believe in our own self-sufficiency, as it were, because we're inclined to that. Especially when things are going well for us, we're inclined to think, I have everything I want, God is blessing me, and then we forget about God. We no longer seek Him in prayer, we do not read His word as faithfully as we ought, we are inclined to neglect His public worship because we think, I really have no need of God to be my light and my salvation. But only Jehovah can be light and salvation, because He is the one true and living God of the covenant. He is the Almighty and the Sovereign, the Eternal and the Unchangeable. I am God. And only such a God, a Sovereign God, can be light and salvation. Only a God who is dependent upon nothing and no one outside of Himself, and who controls absolutely everything in the world, can be light and salvation. Only a God who controls the big things, the rise and fall of nations, the so-called natural disasters of earthquakes and hurricanes, and even the evil deeds of men. Only one who controls the little things, every little germ that goes into your body, every circumstance of your life. Only a God who controls the blood clot in your bloodstream, or the tumor which causes you to have cancer. All of those little things must be under the control of God if He is to be light and salvation. A God who stands by helplessly as the world goes all horribly wrong around us, as war threatens, and as natural disasters devastate the land, and as you become sick and face death, such a God cannot be light and salvation. There's no peace. There's no comfort for David or for us if God is not in control of all things. But if God is in control of all things, He is the Sovereign and the all-powerful God, and yet He is not light and salvation to us, then His sovereignty, His bare sovereignty, is terrifying to us. Almighty power, which God has, directed toward our good and our salvation, is blessed comfort. What comfort is there for the wicked? Because God directs His almighty power toward them too. But for their destruction, God controlled all of the little things in the life of David for his salvation. And God controlled all of the little things in the life of Absalom for his destruction. So Absalom was caught in a tree by his hair and then stabbed by the dart of Joab. And God was as sovereign over all of those arrows which were going around the head of David and avoided hitting him, as He was sovereign over that dart which pierced the heart of Absalom. If God be for us, who can be against us? But if God be against us, as God was against Absalom, who can be for us? And since God is eternal and unchangeable, we know that He is always our light and our salvation. No matter the circumstances, God remains the light and salvation of those who trust in Him. God was light and salvation to David, as he sat in his comfortable palace as the king of Israel. But God was equally light and salvation to David as he was thrust out of his comfortable life and had to flee before Absalom. Circumstances may have changed, but God did not change, because God eternally loves his people. He always shines upon them in favor. He never shows himself to be darkness to them. He never forsakes them or ceases to shine upon them, because he is the covenant God, the God who declares himself to be the friend of his people. No one can approach God, because God dwells in unapproachable light. But God reveals himself to those who are his own through the name Lord or Jehovah. And David enjoys a perfect friendship with this Jehovah God. God made himself the friend of David. God chose David in eternity. God forgave all of the sins of David through the blood of his own son. And God keeps his friendship with David, and nothing depends upon David. And therefore, David calls out upon the name of Jehovah. This is, after all, the name of the God he has known from childhood. When he was a little boy, sitting upon his mother's knee, he learned the name Jehovah. He was circumcised in this name on the eighth day. And we see all kinds of examples throughout his life where he shows he believes in and trusts and has confidence in this Jehovah God. And now, as an older man, in the midst of his trials, he still trusts in Jehovah. The children know, if you take the name Jehovah and add the name salvation, you get the name Jesus. And ultimately then, Jehovah is Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ alone, God reveals himself to be light and salvation. There's no accident when Jesus came upon this earth and said, "I am the light of the world." The Jews would have understood, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." He is claiming to be Jehovah God. Jehovah is the only true light. And here comes Jesus Christ saying, "I am the light of the world." And Hebrews 1 verse 3 tells us that Jesus is the brightness of the glory of God. We reflect that brightness in a creaturely way, but he is the brightness of the glory of God. And he came into this world as the true light, exposing darkness and telling people about the light who is Jehovah, preaching righteousness and doing good, all for the glory of God. And in the Psalms, David is a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the true David. And Jehovah only shines upon the true David, his son, Jesus Christ. And only those then who are in Jesus Christ can experience God as light and salvation. Outside of Jesus Christ, we can only experience God as darkness and destruction. The holy God who consumes sinners in his wrath. But in Jesus Christ, we experience the favor and love of God. And the amazing thing of the gospel is this, beloved. God stopped shining upon Jesus Christ so that he would eternally shine in his love upon us. Jesus always knew his Father to be his light and his salvation. He always knew the favor and the love of God. And yet there came a day at the end of his life when he was hanging upon the cross, and darkness descended upon him on Calvary, and he cried out, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" because he then knew God as darkness and destruction to him because of the sins which were imputed to Jesus Christ, the sins of all of his elect. He experienced for the first time the terrible darkness of God. God treated his son as a miserable and wretched sinner, guilty of all of the sins of his people, and he poured out his wrath upon him. And now he has earned for us the light of God's fatherly countenance. So God now shines upon us with all of the blessings of salvation. That's the truth of our text. God is light to us. God is salvation to us in Jesus Christ. And what is our response? What is the result of this knowledge? The response is we respond to trials without fear, with a spiritual courage. Whom shall I fear? Says the text. Of whom shall I be afraid? Fear is the response of unbelief to unpleasant or unexpected circumstances. What does an unbeliever do when he experiences something unpleasant in his life for which he has made no preparation and before which he stands powerless? He is afraid. When he hears that terrible diagnosis from the doctor, he has a disease for which there is no cure. He is afraid. And as he faces death in his own strength, without the light and salvation of Jehovah, he is terrified. And he will be terrified as he enters death and enters the eternal darkness of hell. And we too, we have the tendency to be afraid. When we hear such bad news, when something terrible happens in our lives, our first response as sinners and as weak Christians is to fear, because we can't see the light and salvation. All we can see is darkness. We have to wrestle with our feelings of fear. And then, when faith triumphs, we can respond in triumph with our text. The Lord is my light and my salvation. It's all dark around me, but the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? That was the response of David to his trial. He did not fear. He expresses confidence. He looks past his weakness. He looks past the terrible circumstances of his life, and he looks upward and he sees Jehovah God by the eyes of faith, and he says, Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Nothing can separate me from his love. No arrow can pierce me except God will it and decree it. And nothing is outside of his control. And I always experience his favor and his goodness. And therefore he praises God. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And he knows that he will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Indeed, he expresses his confidence in the reform of a rhetorical question. He does not say, I will not be afraid. That's a great confidence. But rather he says, whom shall I fear? As it were, he challenges the whole universe. Bring it on. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Nothing. I fear nothing. A cry of triumph then. And the second response of David after his fearlessness is a joyous confession of this truth. He does not hide this truth. He writes it down. He gives it to the chief musician of the temple. And he says, let us sing this in the worship of God. Let everyone know that God is light and salvation. He tells others that God has given him joy and comfort and peace to the knowledge of salvation from his sin. And now, we all know, in every age the Christian church has sung this song. And we are going to sing it after the sermon this morning. We are going to confess by means of singing that the Lord is our light and our salvation. Do you know this, beloved? Do you know this truth in the depth of your soul, that God is your light and your salvation? Then do not hide it. You cannot hide it. If the Lord is your light and your salvation, it will be known. Tell your children. Tell your family. Tell your friends and your acquaintances. All those you meet, tell them. The Lord is light and the Lord is salvation to those who believe in him. And do not fear the darkness. Amen.